I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the assembly of saints. From the virtuous merits that I collect by the practice of giving and the other perfections, may I attain the state of a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the assembly of saints. From the virtuous merits that I collect by the practice of giving and the other perfections, may I attain the state of a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the assembly of saints. From the virtuous merits that I collect by the practice of giving and the other perfections, may I attain the state of a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings never be separated from the bliss which is sorrowless. May all dwell in equanimity, free from aversion and clinging. The ground is covered with flowers and sprinkled with scented water. In the middle is Mount Meru, surrounded by the four continents and ornamented by the sun and the moon. By visualizing all this and offering it as a Buddha realm, may all sentient beings partake of the Buddha's pure lands. Om Guru Buddha Bodhisattva Sapariva Ratna Mandala Buddha Mega Samundra Sabarana Samaye. Welcome to Sakyapandita's Clarifying the Sage's Intent, the final lesson. The last chapter of the text is called The Ultimate Result, which refers to Buddhahood and the various powers and wisdoms that the Buddha has, that any Buddha has, once they attain enlightenment. And there's a long list of these. Last time we went through the list as relayed by Maitreya in his text to Asanga. And this evening we're going to go through 14 additional qualities of Buddha listed by Sakyapandita in his commentary. We had 20 qualities from Maitreya, and now we're going to have 14 additional qualities by Sakyapandita. Number one is called the marvelous accomplishment of two purposes. This is Ape Rinpoche's commentary. Because Buddha has attained all the common and uncommon attainable qualities, he has accomplished the purposes of self and others without remainder and realizes all phenomena without exception. Number two is the thorough accomplishment of the 37 factors of enlightenment. Now, we won't go through all 37 of the factors because that would take too long, but we will just list the groups of the factors. So according to Sakyapandita, they are thorough accomplishment of the four strongly placed mindfulnesses. This means examining the states of the body, feelings, mind, and phenomena to understand that they are empty by nature. The next one is the four correct endeavors. Now, the four correct endeavors we actually talked about before, that is what's considered the medium level of the path of accumulation. So when we talked about the path of accumulation, that was talked about and listed. The next quality is called the accomplishment of four legs or causes of miracles. This refers to the attainment of certain miraculous powers or abilities arising from the four meditative states known as the four legs of miracles, which are aspiration, effort, thought, and analysis. The next quality is the accomplishment of the five spiritual faculties, the faculty of faith, the faculty of enthusiasm or effort, the faculty of mindfulness, the faculty of concentration, and the faculty of wisdom. The next quality is the accomplishment of the five powers. The powers arise when the opposites of the five spiritual faculties are completely eliminated. For example, when one does not fall under the opposite, such as not having faith in opposition to having faith, or laziness in opposition to enthusiasm. The next quality is the accomplishment of the seven branches of enlightenment, which include wisdom and other aspects. The next quality is the accomplishment of the eight branches of the Arya's path, which is also known as the Eightfold Noble Path, such as right view and so on. With regard to these, the Shravaka Arhats and the Pratyeka Buddhas possess the minimal accomplishment. Only perfectly enlightened Buddhas possess the excellent accomplishment of the 37 factors. So those are the groups of the 37 factors, which make up the second quality according to Second Pandita. The third quality is the nine stages of meditation. The nine meditative absorptions are the eliminations of the nine conceptual thoughts of the three realms from the relatively coarse to the relatively subtle. Eliminating the conceptual thinking of the desire realm is the first meditative concentration, and likewise it is the meditative attainment of the second, third, and fourth concentrations of the form realm. The elimination of conceptual thinking of the form realm consists of four stages: infinite space, infinite cognition, nothing at all, and neither existence nor non-existence, which are the formless meditative absorptions. The meditative absorption of cessation is the ninth meditative absorption, which blocks off all conceptual thought. Shravakas engage in the ninth meditative absorption in order to render their minds supple and serviceable and to extinguish their anguish over the various appearances and so forth of ordinary existence. Bodhisattvas practice it to gain mastery over meditative absorptions, and Buddhas achieve it spontaneously through total mastery of meditative absorption. Although lower arhats also possess these nine states of meditation, Shravaka arhats have to employ great effort to enter into them, and Arya bodhisattvas also need to exert effort, although less than that required by Shravaka arhats. On the other hand, Buddha does not need to make any effort at all. He can enter into the nine meditative absorptions spontaneously. The fourth quality of the Buddha is called the Three Doors to Liberation. This refers to the doors of emptiness, wishlessness, and signlessness. Because he possesses wisdom which does not conceive either apprehended object nor apprehending a subject, in other words, does not conceive duality, Buddha has attained the door of emptiness. Because he possesses wisdom free from attachment to the five perpetuating aggregates, Buddha has attained wishlessness. And because he possesses wisdom which has gone beyond the conceptual mode, Buddha has attained marklessness or signlessness. It is taught that the lower arhats and the Arya bodhisattvas have also attained these three doors of liberation, But they have not, however, eliminated the obscurations of latent propensities. Since the complete Buddha has eliminated these, his three doors are supreme. Quality number five is the eradication of the four Maras. The first Mara is the Mara or demon of defilements, such as desire, anger, ignorance, jealousy, and miserliness. The second Mara is the Mara of aggregates, meaning the defiled aggregates, such as our body and mind, which arise due to the defilements and due to conceiving things as inherently existent. The third Mara is the Mara of death, which refers to the moment of dying through the force of defiled karma and defilements. The fourth Mara is known as the Mara of the Son of the God, which refers to spirit beings who obstruct those who are engaged in the Dharma path for the purpose of defeating the first three Maras. So in other words, what we call evil spirits that obstruct practitioners. Dharma practitioners are warned to look out for that and to supplicate protectors. All of the afflictions are eradicated through attaining the realization of ultimate reality and the state of transcendental wisdom. When the afflictions of desire, anger, and ignorance are eliminated, the first Mara, the Mara of defilements, is vanquished. When all the defilements have been eradicated, it is not possible to take birth through their power. When one no longer takes birth through their power, the Mara of aggregates is vanquished. As a consequence, when one no longer takes birth, it's not possible to die. Thus, the Mara of death is vanquished. So the first three, the Maras of defilements, aggregates, and death, are eradicated along with their latencies by the Buddha's transcendental wisdom. The fourth Mara, the Mara of the Son of the God, is eradicated along with its latencies by Buddha's accomplishment of great compassion. Great compassion arises from loving kindness. Since Buddha sees every living being as his only child through the eyes of great compassion, no one opposes him. Therefore, he does not perceive any external force, such as the Son of the God, as an enemy or creator of obstacles. Because he has transformed his perspective, he does not see other beings as creating obstacles, but rather as objects for his loving kindness and compassion, just as if they were his only child. Thus he has also vanquished the Mara of the Son of the God, and in this way Buddha has overcome all four Maras. According to the Foundation School, when Buddha Shakyamuni attained enlightenment under the Bodhi tree at Bodhgaya, he eradicated the Mara of defilements and the Mara of the Son of the God. Later on at Shravasi, at the time when Buddha was about to die but decided to extend his life for another 3 months in order to help others, it is said that he overcame the Mara of death. Then at the time of his passing at Kushinagar, since he would never take another defiled physical body of aggregates, it is said that he destroyed the Mara of aggregates. And according to the Foundation School, he destroyed all the Maras in this way. But according to the Mahayana, when Buddha Shakyamuni appeared in the world, there were no Maras for him to destroy. He had already eliminated them at the end of the 10th Bhumi. Quality number 6 is the 10 dominions. The first dominion is dominion over lifespan. Buddha can remain in the world for as long as he chooses. He cannot pass away accidentally at any other time. This is the outcome of having prolonged the lives of sentient beings through his generous gifts of wealth. The second dominion is over the mind. This is the serviceability of the Buddha's mind to enter into any absorption exactly as he wishes. It is the outcome of having satisfied the minds of others through generosity. The third is dominion over material goods. Buddha can acquire material goods exactly according to his wishes. This is the outcome of having satisfied others with material goods. These first three powers are the outcome of Buddha's generosity. The fourth is dominion over activities or deeds. This is Buddha's ability to achieve deeds of body, speech, and mind just as he wishes. It's the consequence of having impelled others to faultless deeds of body, speech, and mind by means of his own moral discipline. The fifth is dominion over birth. Buddha is able to take birth anywhere within worldly existence as a human being, God, or whatever form he wishes to take. He has complete control over his birth in this world and also over how he will appear. For example, whether he appears in a beautiful form or in an ugly form. His realization of the aspirations endowed with moral discipline is the causal condition for this power. The sixth is dominion over aspiration. This means that Buddha can create whatever he wants. For example, he can turn a piece of earth into gold. It's the result of acting in accord with the likings of sentient beings by means of patience. The seventh is dominion over prayer or dedication. Whatever prayers Buddha makes for the benefit of beings will be accomplished. This is the result of having accomplished benefits for sentient beings in exact agreement with their wishes through his enthusiasm. The eighth is dominion over miraculous manifestations. Buddha can manifest in various forms in order to help sentient beings who are in need of these particular forms. This is the result of having undertaken higher paths exactly in accordance with the doctrine through meditative absorption. So it's said that sometimes Buddha manifests as an animal or even a bridge in certain situations, so an inanimate object. We never really know who or what is a Buddha. The ninth is dominion over transcendental wisdom. Buddha has accomplished the entire realization of ultimate reality. This is the result of having applied himself to accomplishing whatever beings desire through discriminating understanding. The tenth is dominion over Dharma. Buddha is able to teach whatever is in the three baskets of teaching, morality, sutra, and wisdom, according to the needs of the listener. This is the result of having given religious instructions through the perfection of discriminating understanding. So those are the 10 dominions. Now, the seventh quality, according to Sakyapandita, is the quality of various states of meditative absorptions. These meditative absorptions are superior to others. They don't depend on others, and they are unimpeded. They may be broadly categorized into two kinds: those which deal with eliminating all the faults, and those which deal with accomplishing all the qualities or realizations. There are many kinds of meditative absorptions within these two categories. For example, the jewel mudra refers to the accomplishment of various qualities to benefit others. And the vajra-like meditative absorption refers to a state of meditation by which all the defilements are completely pacified. Buddha has accomplished innumerable kinds of meditative absorptions. Number eight, the door of Dharani, or non-forgetfulness. This refers to the quality of non-forgetfulness. For example, Buddha never forgets anything that has been said to him. It also refers to the quality of retaining all aspects of the Dharma so that he can teach any aspect of the doctrine. Number 9, the quality of consummate abandonment. Buddha has abandoned the obscuration of defilements, which blocks the attainment of liberation, and the obscuration of phenomena, which blocks the mind from transforming into omniscience. There are two aspects to each of these obscurations. One is the actual obscuration itself, and the other is the residue remaining after the obscuration has been eliminated. For example, if you place a piece of cloth which has been scented with perfume on a table, some scent will remain behind after the cloth is removed. In the same way, even when we have eliminated all the defilements from the root, there is still a slight residue remaining behind. However, the fully enlightened one has completely eliminated both the obscuration of defilements and the obscuration of phenomena, together with their residues. Number 10, the perfection of transcendental wisdom. Transcendental wisdom means the complete perfection of wisdom. Buddha has complete realization. According to the teachings of the Paramitrayana, Buddha possesses four types of transcendental wisdom. First is called the mirror-like wisdom. Buddha knows all the things to be known in this world system clearly, like objects reflected in a mirror. With regard to the other three wisdoms, mirror-like wisdoms is the support, and the ensuing three wisdoms are the supported. Second, the wisdom of equality. Buddha has completely transcended the dualistic grasping of subject and object. He abides in this non-dual state, which means that his wisdom always remains in equilibrium. Third, the discriminating wisdom. This is the treasure of all excellent qualities, such as the powers and the ways of fearlessness. Fourth, the wisdom of accomplishing beneficial deeds. This means spontaneously realizing all the beneficial activities for self and others. Buddha's infinite qualities of wisdom may be subsumed into two: the omniscience of the ultimate state of being, and the omniscience which consists of knowing all phenomena individually. Even such qualities as the Buddha's 10 powers and 4 kinds of fearlessness come under the category of transcendental wisdom. Although they are one in nature, they may be classified into these two aspects due to their different focusing objects. The 11th quality is the excellent qualities of speech. Buddha possesses 60 excellent qualities of speech. His speech is gentle, pleasing, without fault, and can be heard from a great distance. By means of these qualities of speech, when he teaches, he is able to lead God, man, and all eligible beings into the path of liberation. The 12th quality is the quality of transformation. This refers to complete transformation of the impure states of the 5 aggregates, the 12 elements, and the 18 spheres into the pure transcendent state. Number 13, the quality of wealth. Buddha has a wealth of enlightened qualities such as wisdom, miraculous powers, and miraculous emanations. It's said that if we were to take all the worldly wealth possessed by great heavenly beings, however great they may seem to us, they would be outshone by the spiritual wealth possessed by a single arhat. And the spiritual wealth possessed by all the arhats is outshone by the greater spiritual wealth of a single Pratyeka Buddha. The spiritual wealth possessed by all the Pratyeka Buddhas is outshone by the greater spiritual wealth of a single Bodhisattva. And the spiritual wealth of all the Bodhisattvas is far outshone by the greatest spiritual wealth, that of the fully enlightened Buddha. To illustrate the point regarding the quality of wealth, at one time there was an arhat by the name of Arya Upagupta. A demon, or a mara, was trying to obstruct him. The demon approached Upagupta and mocked him by offering him a garland of flowers. But the Arya took the rosary and placed it around the demon's neck. The rosary then transformed itself into the corpse of a dog infested with maggots. And no matter how hard the demon struggled to remove it, he couldn't. So he became very distressed. And he promised the Arya that he would never again cause problems to those on the path of the Dharma, and that he would henceforth protect them. And after that, he was able to remove the dog's corpse. There is a story to illustrate the difference between Shravaka Arhat's qualities and those of the Bodhisattvas. At one time, when many world systems were being destroyed by fire, Manjushri and Shariputra went from one world system to another, right up to the end of the three worlds of existence. And Manjushri suggested to Shariputra that they return by miraculous means in order to arrive quickly. So he asked Shariputra, "Will we return using your miraculous powers, or do you want to see me to use mine?" Shariputra was curious to see what a Mahayana practitioner could do, so he suggested Manjushri use his powers. Manjushri said to Shariputra, "In that case, close your eyes." But even before Shariputra managed to close his eyes completely, Manjushri said, "Now open them." They were right back where they had started. Shariputra observed to Manjushri that his power must be very great to accomplish such a feat in so short a time. And Manjushri replied, "My conduct is not within the domain of Shravaka such as you, who possess inferior aspiration." The 14th quality is Buddha is the excellent refuge. From among the qualities of the Buddha explained above, the immeasurables, emancipations, basis of dominion, basis of exhaustion, five of the clairvoyances, are qualities shared by some worldly beings. Buddha's sixth clairvoyance, his absence of defilements, his knowledge resulting from resolution, four individually correct cognitions, 37 factors conducive to enlightenment, nine meditative attainments, three doors to liberation, etc., are shared with Shravaka Arhats. Other qualities such as miraculous powers, meditative absorptions, and some transformations, etc., are shared with Bodhisattvas on the first seven bhumis. Qualities such as transformation of defiled consciousness and the major and minor physical marks are shared with Bodhisattvas on the eighth bhumi. And the door of Dharani, or unforgetfulness, and the four great individually correct cognitions are shared with Bodhisattvas on the ninth level. Some qualities, such as the ten dominions, etc., are held in common with Bodhisattvas on the tenth level. But in addition to all these, there are certain qualities unique to Buddha. These include the 18 special qualities possessed by no one else, that is, the six qualities of behavior, the six qualities of realization, the three qualities of transcendental wisdom, and the three qualities of transcendental activities described earlier. Since Buddha has attained all the common and uncommon qualities, he is the most supreme refuge. The scriptures explain the qualities of Buddha in many ways. According to the Prajnaparamita, the Dharmakaya of the Buddha has 21 sets of qualities, and the Rupakaya has 32 major and minor marks, and 80 minor marks. According to Maitreya, Buddha has 20 sets of special qualities, and according to Sakyapandita, in addition to these, there are an additional 14. Some of Buddha's qualities are described to enable us to accumulate merit and also to induce us to produce faith in Buddha. In actuality, though, we would never be able to describe every quality Buddha possesses because his qualities are inconceivable and infinite. It would be impossible on the basis of the merits we possess to understand Buddha's qualities. Therefore, these lists are merely partial descriptions. Rinpoche continues saying, "As you have now received the entire teaching, this has placed the seed of the complete path to Buddhahood in your mind. It is said that a great amount of merit is accumulated whenever we listen to the doctrine. When we are on our way to hear a Dharma teaching, every time you put your foot down, we take a step nearer to the place where the Dharma is being taught. Therefore, we accumulate merit with every step. And if we drive a car to the teachings, we accumulate merit every time we hit the accelerator. Since we have been able to accumulate such great merit by listening to this teaching, or by reading and contemplating upon it, we should dedicate all the merit and transform it into the basis to gain enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings." So that concludes the commentary on Sakyapandita's clarifying the sage's intent. And I put up the whiteboard here, just a summary of the path that we covered over the last 21 teachings. So, it starts with Buddha nature, which all sentient beings have. Human, non-human, animals, insects, all sentient beings have what's called natural Buddha nature. But that Buddha nature needs to be developed. It's not enough just to have it. It's not automatic that we become enlightened just because we have the potential. So the development of Buddha nature, going way back to the beginning of Sakyapandita's text, he talks about propensity. So in other words, what do you tend to lean towards or do or be? And in this case, to develop Buddha nature, we need to lean towards the propensity of compassion. Compassion, loving kindness, those are the basis of the bodhisattva path. We have the natural Buddha nature, but we need to develop it by developing our propensities. If we do that, and we have a precious human rebirth with its 18 qualities, and we encounter the Dharma, then the next step is to actually step onto the path, so to speak, by going for refuge, by taking a refuge vow. And that is the official beginning of our Dharma path. Again, this is a Mahayana text, so we're going to go through it from a Mahayana point of view. After we take refuge, then we need to cultivate the enlightenment thought, the thought of attaining enlightenment for the sake of all beings. The enlightenment thought has two categories, two types, relative and absolute. The relative refers to the accumulation of merit, or the path of method, and the absolute refers to the accumulation of wisdom, or the realization of the nature of all phenomena. those two methods, the relative and the absolute, are developed, so to speak, through the aspirations that we create. So we've talked quite a bit about aspiration and how it's a type of, it's like planting a seed. It's more than just wishful thinking, but it's actually determining that this is our path and we're going to create the causes and conditions to accomplish it. Even though we haven't accomplished it yet at the moment we're at, we aspire strongly to attain enlightenment for the sake of all beings, and this propels us forward. And it actually, according to Dzongtsa Kenzi Rinpoche, when you make the aspiration correctly, you actually accomplish it. It's a done deal. It's just a matter of time. You need to do the practices, of course, but the aspiration is a really important component of it. And when we do the actual practice, the actual Dharma practice, the relative enlightenment thought or the method part of it is further subdivided into entering and engaging, or wishing and engaging. So the wishing is the aspiration. The engaging, according to this text, can be summarized by the six perfections and the four means of maturing sentient beings, which we went into quite a bit of detail about those in the text. Furthermore, in order to understand the map, so to speak, Maitreya and Sakya Pandita explained to us the five paths and the ten bhumis. Five paths are just ways of laying out a scheme, so to speak, to see where our spiritual development is on the way to enlightenment. And the ten bhumis are sort of parallel way of laying out the path. The first bhumi begins at the third path, path of seeing. And the ten bhumis are what we call Arya bodhisattvas, exalted bodhisattvas. These are very highly spiritually developed bodhisattvas, and there are 10 of these levels in the Sutrayana path, which have to do with various levels of spiritual development. And finally, after Bodhisattva does all that, they attain the ultimate result, which is complete and perfect enlightenment, or Buddhahood. And at that point, we are then in a position where we can really help other sentient beings do the same thing. And that is the enlightenment thought, which is actualized. In other words, attaining enlightenment for the sake of helping other beings attain enlightenment, which is what Shakyamuni did for us, and that we will do for countless other sentient beings. So that is, in a nutshell, is a summary of the Sutrayana path as laid out by Maitreya, given to Asanga, and then commented on by Sakya Pandita in clarifying the sage's intent. The first time I was exposed to this text, it was the text for the first year of the complete path training that I did. Certainly opened up my eyes to to the Bodhisattva path. So I thought, just for fun, I would read the final exam that we were given for the course that I took in the complete path. There are five questions on the final exam, and they are all essay questions. There were two instructors in the class, and they wrote a note at the top that said, "The purpose of this test on clarifying the sage's intent is to share your familiarities and understanding of it." I imagine they meant share it with yourself. The first question says, "Write a brief biography of the author of the text and list the main stages of the Bodhisattva path, or the contents of the textbook." Well, that's what we just went through with the whiteboard, the main stages of the path. So that, the biography and the stages is the first question. The second question is, among the six perfections, select one perfection and write how the author explains it, and then share your personal understanding of it. So you get to choose one that you want to write about. One of the six perfections. Presumably you know all of them very well at this point. Third question says, according to the topic of generating the thought of awakening, in parentheses, bodhicitta, identify its main practice and method how to practice it. What's the main practice of bodhicitta, the enlightenment thought, and how do you actually go about it? Question number four was, read one case example or story from the text and write your personal understanding and experience. There were some stories that we went through over the weeks in the text, and so to take one example on how you understood it and how you experienced it. And then the final one, number five, is, as a result of learning this text, what possible benefits may you gain if you practice them in your life? This test was developed by Venerable Khin Rinpoche Jampa and Geshe Jamyang Sultra. That was the final exam in the class. That concludes clarifying the sage's intent. Lama has asked me to begin with another text, the Sakya Lekshe, which is Sakya Pandita's text of instructions for lay people. This is a very interesting text just for that reason alone, but also because it was the first Tibetan text translated into English. At least partially anyway, in the 1800s, in the early 1800s, by a French translator. So it has a historical significance. But also, this particular book that we're going to use includes the commentary by one of Lama Jampa's teachers. And there are a lot of partial translations and partial commentaries. But I believe this was the first complete translation with a complete commentary. So it has that interesting aspect also. It's called the Sakya Lekshe. By this merit, may all attain omniscience, may defeat the enemy wrongdoing, from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death, from the ocean of samsara, may all beings be free. Bodhicitta is precious. May it arise in all beings in whom it has not arisen. May it never decline where it has arisen, but may it ever grow and flourish. In whatever way valiant Manjushri and Samantabhadra know how to transfer merit, so do I dedicate all my own virtues that I might train to be like them. Through this dedication, praise is supreme. By the victorious Buddhas of the past, present, and future, I, together with all sentient beings, dedicate these roots of virtue to attaining Buddhahood. May whatever little virtue I may have gained from prostrating, offering, confessing, rejoicing, requesting, and beseeching be dedicated to attaining perfect enlightenment. Thank you.